This is extemporaneous. So before you pray, see, one reason why we enter small groups is to get comfortable. We speak with each other, then we share out here, because where we're going further, the next step is our testimony. Being comfortable sharing our testimony. So we enter these little practice sessions, and being able to pray for someone, we should have that skill. So amongst brothers and sisters, and in the spirit of opening our Sunday class, would you begin us?
Lord be with you then.
And also with you.
Heavenly Father, thank you again for bringing us together to study your word, to better understand our motives for understanding your word.
Yes.
We ask that you give us the insight as we can accept it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Art. Who knows the name of this Sunday school class? I'm going to keep hammering on this as we go because it's purposeful.
Spradling Institute, isn't it?
Yeah. Did we name it?
Spradling Institute.
The name of this Sunday school class
putting
is
Putting Feet to the Faith. Yes.
Putting Feet to the Faith. And the little byline is
I had a book in my book.
Thank you. And the byline is walking closer with Christ and bringing others with you. So we're still in the beginning part, walking closer with Christ, because apart from Jesus, what is our power?
Nothing.
So part one, before we go to what's our testimony and discipling others, we have to be walking close with the Lord to be empowered by His Spirit and know what His will is. So now let's think about last week. Does anybody have anything to report, any kind of experience, any revelation? Disappointments are okay, too. The homework assignment was?
Yeah, that's
not done.
Not done. Yes, Carol.
Homework. Time with the Lord. Write down things I am thankful for.
Yes. Last week was about Thanksgiving. So we can't stress forward.
I take notes.
Is your favorite?
What can I
so... Did you have any time during the week to execute that?
Well, I didn't write it down in my notebook. But I did think about it, the things that I'm thankful for.
Good.
And, of course, I'm thankful for God in my life.
Amen.
Jesus is the one and only. And then my husband is next.
That is in proper order. That's very biblical.
And my family.
Does that make him second?
Second,
the truth is, she's known me longer than she has God.
Probably. And I'm thankful for my daughters and my son-in-laws, my five grandchildren. I'm thankful for the Lord's beautiful gift to us. I'm a tree hugger, so I love nature, and I love trees. And so that's one of the things that I'm always very thankful for.
Awesome. Thank you.
And, of course, our church.
So as a word of encouragement, the first part of this class, deepening our relationship with Christ, consider doing the homework. There's purpose and reason behind that, and that is to help us deepen our relationship with Christ. So not every Sunday will you have homework, oftentimes. So that's a word of encouragement. So the next two Sundays, we're going to be talking about obedience. And early on in this love loop, it is right here. It is. It's on there. So today we're going to begin in the Old Testament. There's three people that we're going to read their stories. I should say there's a very large group of people. And then two individual people are going to read their stories and what their obedience looked like or their disobedience looked like. And we're going to see kind of three different positions of where these different stories are. So today is we might spend 10 minutes in just reading scripture. So just preparing you mentally, we'll be in the scriptures. And then we'll break, if we have time, then we can break into small groups. Or we might just have one large group, that's probably time constraints. That's what we'll do. So, everybody, open your Bibles to Numbers, please. Numbers chapter 13. I need a volunteer to read 13, 26 to 30. But we're not going to read that yet, so we have one volunteer for that. Thank you. And a second volunteer to read 31. This is Numbers. Book of Numbers, starting in chapter 13. And then at a reading from 31 to 14:4, sorry. Volunteer for that one. Thank you, Steve. And then we'll pause for a moment. So we are in the book of Numbers. That is the Old Testament. After Leviticus, first five books. Numbers 13. We're going to start at 26. Everybody there? Mm-hmm. I'm going to read just one scripture, one to just to set us up, and then Jeff, take off.
Yep.
So this is 13, verse 1 and 2. The Lord said to Moses, let me give some context. So, the Lord has delivered his people from Egypt. Right, so this is transitioning from Egypt, some travel, and then to the promised land. Okay? That's our context. The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. So then they go out, they check out the land. Jeff.
All right. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it.
Good. Steve.
But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack these people. They're stronger than we. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak came from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. That night, all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in this desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt.
It gets better. I'm going to skip over, and I'm on verse 17. 20 till. Does anybody need to leave at 20 till?
Choir members.
Sorry. Steve, good timing. Thank you. It's in the rest of the book if you want to know how the story ends. Yeah.
Will we have homework this week?
Good question.
Never mind, I'll get it out.
There wasn't anything on the top of my head before I walked into class. The okay. Lord may spring something on us.
Just let me know.
Will do. Thank you. Now we're on verse 17. So, Moses knows all this stuff. He's like, oh my gosh. Even here it says they wanted to stone them. They wanted to stone them and get new leaders. So Moses intercedes on behalf of the people. Said, God, please, don't wipe them out. And if you do that, everybody who knows you took them out of Egypt will like, what's their God all about? If you saved them to kill them. So now Moses says, this is on verse 17. Now may the Lord's strength be displayed just as you have declared. The Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love and forgiving sin and rebellion. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children of their sins, the fathers in third and fourth generation. In accordance with your great love, forgive the sins of the people just as you have pardoned them from the time they left Egypt until now. So, the men that started kind of putting this group together and grumbling against them, and the guys that came back and like kind of distorted, like, oh, we can't go there because X, Y, and Z, right? But there's one guy, Caleb's like, no, man, we should go take it. And Caleb said that because God said that's the promised land. So Caleb's the only one listening. Short story, God kills all those guys with a plague. But since the Israelites listened to those, this is why they wandered in the desert for 40 years. God said, because you didn't do as I asked. Everybody in your generation will not enter the promised land. It's going to be your kids. And so after that, the story gets better. Like, oh, God, we're so sorry. Now we're going to go take it. And Moses is like, no, God's not with you. You already made the mistake. Don't go. Well, what do? They willfully, again, disobey, and they're beat up. That's disobedience upon disobedience. So, well, let's go to the other end of the spectrum. Let's go to Noah. This is Genesis. Book of Genesis. Chapter 6. And a volunteer, Genesis chapter 6, 13 through 17. Volunteer. Thank you, Cindy. And one more volunteer, Genesis 6, 18 through 22. Volunteer. Jeff.
Yep, got it.
Okay, Cindy, thank you.
So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Make a roof for it and finish the ark to within 18 inches of the top. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish.
Oh, and now, 18. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons, and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is eaten and store them away as food for you and for them. Noah did everything just as God commanded him.
He asked him to do quite a bit. Build an ark. Was he around any water? No. Exactly how to build the ark.
The details.
Cool. The animals. And Noah did everything just as God commanded.
How he got out of his garage.
So we have two ends of the spectrum. Let's go to the middle of the spectrum. Now we're going to go to Jonah. Jonah. Jonah is to the right of the Psalms, to the right of Jeremiah, to the right of Ezekiel, to the right of Daniel. We are in Jonah chapter 1:1. It's It took, I had to go to my index to find it.
Oh, it's right. That's why I can't find it, probably. I'm going to find my page number.
Just after Amos, yes.
Yeah.
Before Zechariah, before Micah, before Zephaniah.
Before Zechariah.
This is a good exercise. Where the heck is this book in my Bible?
Really?
Obadiah.
I'm there.
I'm going to read this one and
okay?
Kind of skim across the highlights.
Do I need to Heimlich you? Okay.
Everybody there? Jonah 1:1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. I like that. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. We pretty much know, I believe most of us know, what happens. Jonah's on board. Water starts getting really bad. The guys on the boat eventually figure out, like, what's going on? All the other guys, they cast lots, which I don't know what that means. Sticks, dice, something.
Rock, paper, scissors.
And it falls to Jonah. And so they're like, all right, Jonah, what's going on? Jonah confesses, well, God wants me to do something, and I haven't done it. So he gets thrown overboard. He just says, throw me overboard. God provides big fish, swallows Jonah. He's in there for 3 days. What happens during that 3 days inside the fish? Besides
smelling bad.
Jonah has a big prayer. And he's basically, it's a prayer of repentance. So he's disobedient. Repents of his disobedience. He's coughed back out onto the land. And beginning of chapter 3, it says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Disobeyed, repented of disobedience, and then was obedient when the Lord asked him again. So this is our position in the middle. Keep me on track, James. I'm gonna put out here something I haven't heard of anybody teaching, but I think the Bible teaches it. There is disobedience. There is willful disobedience. And then there is disobedience with repentance. And then there's just complete obedience, right? As those of us who claim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I would hope that we have the Spirit in us. We would never be in the "I am completely disobedient, God," and have a hard heart. And when God says, "No, don't do that," you do it. Or when He says, "Do that," and then you don't do it, and just not have any conflict inside you. Then, if you don't, you may start asking the Lord or yourself, am I really walking? Is Jesus really my Lord and Savior? But if we know He is, and we are disobedient, but with a repentant heart, as Jonah was, after we say our corporate confession, it's all forgiven, right? Forgiven, and we begin to walk in the Lord's favor. So, we have just a few minutes. You have to go. I think we're going to stop. It's about 10 till. It's about 10 till. Because the next thing is more time. I don't want to get started. Is that clear, what we have read and what I have said about obedience?
I never thought about it as a right, left, and middle.
I
hadn't either.
I like that.
So next week we'll enter the New Testament, and we'll see Jesus, of course, is the perfect example of obedience. And we'll read Paul, where Paul has conflict with being obedient. And then we will have time for small groups, just a little preview. Share about a time in your life when you were disobedient and repentant. And what did that look like? God wanted you to do this or not do this, but you did it instead, or you didn't do it. What did that look like? How did that unfold for you? Or you were obedient like Noah. You built your ark. God said, I want you to do this. And you did it. And how did that unfold for you? That's a preview for next week. Who would like to close us in prayer?
I would.
Thank you, Joe.
All right, thanks. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I thank you so much, God, for this love that you've given us, for this word that is magnificently on display today. I pray that if we have been disobedient to you, Lord God, that we would be repentant and we would make it right. Let us be those. I know that from original sin, it's unlikely we're going to obey you 100% of the time, I'm afraid. But when we don't, I pray that you would visit us with your spirit, make us repentant, and make us fix that problem, as Jonah did, and as Caleb did. Thank you so much for this, Lord Jesus. It's in your name.
Amen. Amen. Homework.
Yes, sir.
During your personal prayer time or driving the car, whenever you're in conversation with God, if you are not aware of a time in your, a point in your life right now that you think God wants you to do something or he doesn't want you to do something and you are disobedient to his will, ask forgiveness and then try to be obedient. Or if you can't think of anything, ask the Lord to enlighten you. Lord, what am I doing now that you don't want me to do? Or, Lord, what do you want me to do that I'm not doing? That's your homework. James.
Things done and left undone.
Things done and left undone. Thank you.